It seems like a long, long time ago that we started our journey with Mark on that first Sunday of Advent. Remember that? That was way before Christmas, you know? That thing where we had the Christmas tree and all that stuff, yeah? Remember that? Well, remember when I said, when we talk about the Gospel of Mark, we're talking about a writer who condensed everything, made it very, very small and intricate. And so that if you didn't focus on the reading, you would miss what the reading was about. And so we're still in chapter 1 of Mark, and we're only at the 28th verse, which is basically the 28th sentence in the chapter of the first chapter of Mark. Now you may say, well, you know, what's the significance there? Well, look what we've traveled through. The Gospel of Mark started with John the Baptist coming out of the wilderness, baptizing with forgiveness, and then Jesus stepping out of the crowd, being baptized by John the Baptist, and then the Spirit leading Jesus out into the wilderness, and then he comes back out of the wilderness and immediately decides on his four disciples to join him first. And now we're at the 28th sentence within chapter 1, and we're in Capernaum in a synagogue on a Sabbath. Now, what's so important about that is all those people in that synagogue, it's very doubtful that they would have been at the Jordan. So when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, remember what happened? The clouds opened up, a dove descended, and there was a voice from heaven saying, "This is my son to whom I'm well pleased." So all those people around the Jordan would have heard that and said, "This must be the Messiah. This is God's chosen son." So they would have known who he was, but the people in the synagogue didn't. And so Jesus enters the synagogue and begins to teach. And their question is, by what authority does he have the right to preach, to come and teach? What authority does he have? I mean, they knew the authority of the scribes and the Pharisees. They'd gone to school. They had the little piece of paper that said, "Yes, you can come into our synagogue and teach." But Jesus didn't. And so their first question was, what authority does he have? And just like if on cue outsteps a person with an impure spirit, an evil spirit, and he says, "I know exactly who you are. I know exactly who you are. You're the Holy One, the Son of God. Now, what are you going to do? What is your role here? What are you going to do with that authority, Jesus?" And what does Jesus, he doesn't even answer, does he? He just says to the evil spirit, "Be quiet, get out." And all the people are amazed, aren't they? They're amazed because they've witnessed something totally unexpected. First, Jesus teaching, and second, that he had authority over evil spirits. So you can imagine the excitement that must have been taking place in that synagogue, which is why you heard at the end of it, Mark says, and word news spread throughout the region of Galilee. Of course it would have spread through the region. Look what they had witnessed. So the big thing about today's gospel is all about authority. Now you and I live much of our lives under authority. I mean, my ministry has always been under the authority of a bishop. And in my time with the military, I was always under the authority of a person in a position of authority to guide. And in certain circumstances, I too was in that position of leadership. But to get there to that position of authority, I had to take a whole bunch of classes, a whole bunch of courses, I should say, on leadership. Now, the chaplaincy doesn't really work on command leadership. It works on a different level of leadership. And I don't know if you've ever heard this term, servant leadership. I don't know if you ever heard of that term, servant leadership. But that's really what the chaplaincy is based on. It's based on servant leadership, which means that in a position of authority, you ask questions. You get people involved. You listen to all the sides to make your plan. You incorporate all that knowledge. And you are a servant to the people. That it's not just simply leading or building a plan. It's listening to others. And the greatest example that we have of that servant leadership is Jesus, isn't it? I mean, throughout his ministry, we will see him reaching out to the lost, to the poor, to those who are living in poverty and injustice. He's constantly being a servant to those people. Yet he had the authority of the Son of God. So you can imagine the confusion that's going to be taking place in the near future in Mark's gospel, because people are going to say, well, he's got this authority. Why doesn't he bring the army? Why doesn't he take over? But he's not. He's the servant leader. He goes out there looking for you and I, reaching out to us so that he too can listen to us and we can listen to him. So is it any surprise that word is about to spread through all of Galilee? No. Because he's bringing about a new kind of leadership, not one that oppresses, but one that gives back. And so I'd ask you this week, think about that. Think about Jesus as the ultimate servant leader and ask yourself, how can I be a servant leader in his example? Amen.